and sent him sprawling against the wall. Gulda winked at him and raised his arms again. "To me, O spirits of—" There was a thunderclap, an implosion of light, and a moment of complete physical uncertainty, during which even the walls seemed to turn in on themselves. Trumon heard a sharp intake of breath, and then a dull, solid thump. The room was suddenly silent. After a few minutes, Trumon crawled out from behind a chair and dusted himself off. He whistled a few bars of Nothing Much and turned towards the door with exaggerated care, looking at the ceiling as if he'd never seen it before. He moved in a way that suggested he was attempting the world speed record for the nonchalant walk. The luggage squatted in the centre of the circle and opened its lid. Trumon stopped. He turned very, very carefully, dreading what he might see. The luggage seemed to contain some clean laundry, smelling slightly of lavender. Somehow it was quite the most terrifying thing the wizard had ever seen. He said, you wouldn't have seen another wizard around here, by any chance? The luggage contrived to look more menacing. "Oh," said Trumon. "Well, fine. It doesn't matter." He pulled vaguely at the hem of his robe and took a brief interest in the detail of its stitching. When he looked up, the horrible box was still there. "Goodbye," he said, and ran. He managed to get through the door just in time. "Rincewind?" Rincewind opened his eyes. Not that it helped much. It just meant that instead of seeing nothing but blackness, he saw nothing but whiteness, which, surprisingly, was worse. "Are you all right?"
"No."
"Ah." Rincewind sat up. He appeared to be on a rock speckled with snow, but it didn't seem to be everything a rock ought to be. For example, it shouldn't be moving. Snow blew around him. Twoflower was a few feet away, a look of genuine concern on his face. Rincewind groaned. His bones were very angry at the treatment they had recently received and were queuing up to complain.
"What now?" he said.
"You know when we were flying and I was worried we might hit something in the storm and you said the only thing we could possibly hit at this height was a cloud stuffed with rocks?"
"Well?"
"How did you know?" Rincewind looked around, but for all the variety and interest in the scene around him, they might as well have been in the inside of a ping-pong ball. The rock underneath was, well, rocking. He ran his hands over it, and felt the scoring of chisels. When he put an ear to the cold, wet stone, he fancied he could hear a dull, slow thumping, like a heartbeat. He crawled forward until he came to an edge, and peered very cautiously over it. At that moment, the rock must have been passing over a break in the clouds, because he caught a dim but horribly distant view of jagged-edged mountain peaks. They were a long way down. He gurgled incoherently and inched his way backwards.
"This is ridiculous," he told Twoflower. "Rocks don't fly. They're noted for not doing it."
"Maybe they would if they could," said Twoflower. "Perhaps this one just found out how."
"Let's hope it doesn't forget again," said Rincewind.
He huddled up in his soaking robe and looked glumly at the cloud around him. He supposed there were some people somewhere who had some control over their lives. They got up in the mornings and went to bed at night in the reasonable certainty of not falling over the edge of the world, or being attacked by lunatics, or waking up on a rock with ideas above its station. He dimly remembered leading a life like that once. Rincewind sniffed. The rock smelt of frying. The smell seemed to be coming up from ahead, and appealed straight to his stomach.
"Can you smell anything?" he said.
"I think it's bacon," said Twoflower.
"I hope it's bacon," said Rincewind, "because I'm going to eat it."
He stood up on the trembling stone and tottered forward into the clouds, peering through the wet gloom. At the front or leading edge of the rock, a small druid was sitting cross-legged in front of a small fire. A square of oilskin was tied across his head and knotted under his chin. He was poking at a pan of bacon with an ornamental sickle.
Said Rincewind.
The druid looked up and dropped the pan into the fire. He leapt to his feet and gripped the sickle aggressively, or at least as aggressively as anyone can look in a long, wet, white nightshirt and a dripping headscarf.
"I warn you, I shall deal harshly with hijackers," he said, and sneezed.